Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Larry.
Nice to be up here. As Eric says, I've got the speaker. I can say what I want to say now. This message coming today is more or less a continuation on the Bible reading that I had last week. I thought, well, last week or the week before? I can't remember. I was trying to remember which week it was. But it's in the same section of the Bible. It's in Chronicles, basically 34. 34, and starting right on verse 1. And it's a story that I kind of developed from some of the conversations that we've had here concerning examining ourselves at Passover. A question came up. I don't know if it was directly a question to answer, but it came up. Why do we do it over and over again? And I just happened to be reading this section of the scripture, and something popped out at me, the same as it did with the Bible reading that I gave. These verses popped out, and you can also go back and follow this in 2 Kings 22. Almost the same story is told, but I'm going to stay right here in Chronicles. It's a the story of young Joash. I'm terrible on the meetings. And he was Manasseh's grandson. Okay, there was his father Anyway, his father was only Amos. Amon's, A-M-O-N. He only reigned for 3 years. So there was a span of 36 years for Manasseh. There was another 3 years before he took over. And I want to read you the first section of this, because to get a grasp on it.
First or Second Chronicles?
I'm Second Chronicles 34. I'm sorry if I said First Chronicles. There's something in there that I wanted to read, but it's not what I wanted to highlight on. No. Okay, so young Jaya, 2 Chronicles 34, in verse 1. Joash was 8 years old when he began to reign, and reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So he reigned for quite a while. But he was only 8 when he started. For in the 8th year of his reign, this is verse 3. Oh, I better read verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walk in the ways of David his father, and decline neither to the right or left. Now think of this. This is an 8-year-old boy made king. His grandfather, Manasseh, was considered the worst king that Israel had. Sinful king. And we went through that where he, at the end of his reign, he repented. And God blessed him because of that. His dad, who came on, was also an evil king. And he probably would have been worse than his dad if he had stayed in there longer. But they actually, his servants actually killed him because he was so bad. Okay? So in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. So here's a young lad, really 8 years old, and when he was in his 8th year of his reign, so that means he was 16 years old, and he started to purge all the evilness that was in Jerusalem and Judah, and from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So he began this all, and he really, really, did a lot of work as a young king to purge out all the evil that was in the country. And then I'm going to go down to verse 9, verse 8, excuse me. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shepham, the son of Azalah, and Meshissa, the governor of the city, and Joab, the son of Boaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord. So he's done all this. He's done all this purging in the city, and now he's going to concentrate on the house of the Lord. Okay, and this would have been in his 18th year of his reign. So 18 and 8, he's now, what, 26? So he's had some time, he's cleaned up the place, and he's gone on. And then we go over to, what he did was, and I don't want to read all these verses, but he gave the, they went in, there was a lot of money in the sanctuary that just was buried under all the trash that they kept putting into it. So he went in and cleaned it up and found all this money and gave it to the people who were in charge of repairing the house of the Lord. And the interesting part about all this was, while they were cleaning it up, they found the book of the law. Okay, now, think of this. This is Jerusalem and Israel, and they didn't know about the book of the law, because there's been so many years. And you got King David, you got Samuel, Hezekiah, and then you got Manasseh. So there's the four kings before him. Three were good. One, Manasseh, was bad, and his father was bad. And in that span of, well, 36 years, 38 years, I believe it was, between Hezekiah and him taking over, the place was just a mess. So he cleaned it. He was cleaning it all up and found this book of the law. Now, you'd wonder, with all the priests that are in Israel, you'd wonder how they'd lose the book of the law. Right? You just wonder, how could you possibly lose the book of the law? So when they found it, it's very interesting here. And when they brought out the money, verse 14, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, the priest found the book of the law given by Moses. And Hezekiah answered to Shaphan, the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hezekiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, "All that was committed to your servants, they did." So what he's talking about there is cleaning out the house of the Lord. And when they brought out, verse 17. And when they, I want to skip down here, because this just describes what they did with the money. In verse 18, when Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hiakim the priest had given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. That's a statement in itself. That means that he didn't know about this book of the law, and when he heard it, it was a custom to rent your clothes. How could we be so wrong? How could we go on this way? So anyway, he wanted to bring it to the people. So he, and if you go down through all this, he went, and the other Second Kings covers it really good too. He went down and he turned around and he wanted to bring it to the people. So the people, and this actually went on during the Passover. He didn't, and there was a question, well, aren't you supposed to kill the lamb in your house during Passover? But the people were so far away from Passover that he wanted the priest to do it, to show them how they should do it. Then years later, and the next year, they could do it on their own. But that's how bad it was. You wonder, how could a country get so bad? All you got to do is look around. Look at our country. Look at the States. Look at Europe. How bad it's gotten over the time. So he wanted to inquire of the Lord. And so in verse 20, the king commanded Hiakiah, and Hiakiah the son of Shaphan, and Adong the son of Mishnah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asha the servant of the king, saying, "Go inquire for the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that was found." For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the law, the word of the Lord, and do all that was written in the books. So they ended up going to a prophetess. And the prophetess told them, yeah, it's going to come upon you. It's going to come upon you really bad, but not in this king's lifetime, simply because he had repented and what he was doing, bringing the word of the law, the word back to them. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that why do we do it every year? Because if we don't, it can get lost. If you can be what Israel was in King David's time and Solomon's time, and get that far away after Hezekiah, in the span of 36 years, you better be doing it every year. You better be doing the Passover every year. You better be doing the law of God every day. And you better be making sure that all the other holy days are kept. And this is what struck me the most when I was reading through this. And it was just simply the fact that we cannot let it go even one year. Even during like COVID. We were lucky during COVID because there was a lot of people that never came back to the church after COVID. And it's sad. It's really sad. So we have to make sure the reason we do it every year is because we have to. For two reasons. Because it's a commandment, and it's because for our benefit. Because we do not want the wrath of God to come upon us. And that's the important part here. We want to obey God. We have to obey God. And we do not, I repeat, do not want the wrath of God to come upon us for that reason. And that's why he gives us his word. So that we can understand it and can keep it